The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter number 22, Text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on April 1st, 2009, in Tartu, Estonia.
So today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter numbers 22, Prithu Maharaja's meeting with the Kumaras. Text number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vyaktam Atma Vatam Atma.
Vyaktam Atma Vatam Atma.
Bhagavan Atma Bhavana.
Bhagavan Atma Bhavana.
Bhagavan Atma Bhavana. Svanam anugrahayemam. Svanam anugrahayemam. Svanam anugrahayemam. Siddharupi charatyada. Siddharupi charatyaja. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always anxious to elevate the living entities who are His parts and parcels. And for their special benefit, the Lord travels all over the world in the form of self-realized persons like you. Huh? Yes, the self-realized persons, they travel through rain, snow, sleet, hail, and scorching sun. So now it is snowing. Maharaji has notified us it is now snowing outside. Purport. There are different kinds of transcendentalists, namely the jnanis, or impersonalists, the mystic yogis, and of course, all the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kumaras, however, were both yogis and jnanis, and finally bhaktas later on. In the beginning, they were impersonalists, but later they developed devotional activities. Therefore, they are the best of the transcendentalists. The devotees are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to elevate the conditioned souls to their original consciousness, they travel all over the universes to enlighten the conditioned souls about Krishna consciousness. The best devotees are Atmavat, or those who have fully realized the Supreme Soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Paramatma, is sitting within everyone's heart, trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, He is called Atma Bhavana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always trying to give the individual soul the intelligence to understand about himself. He is always with the individual as a friend, sitting by the side of a friend, and He gives facilities to all living entities according to their desires. The word Atmavatam is significant in this verse. There are three different kinds of devotees, namely the Kanishta Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, and the Uttama Adhikari. the neophyte, the preacher, and the Mahabhagavat, or the highly advanced devotee. The highly advanced devotee is one who knows the conclusion of the Vedas in full knowledge. Thus he becomes a devotee. Indeed, not only is he convinced himself, but he can convince others on the strength of Vedic evidence. The advanced devotee can also see all other living entities as part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, without discrimination. The Madhyama Adhikari, preacher, is also well-versed in the Shastras and can convince others also. But he discriminates between the favorable and the unfavorable. In other words, the Madhyama Adhikari does not care for the demoniac living entities. And the neophyte Kanishta Adhikari does not know much about Shastra, but has full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kumaras, however, were Mahabhagavats, because after scrutinizingly studying the Absolute Truth, they became devotees. In other words, they were in full knowledge of the Vedic conclusion. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed with the Lord that there are many devotees, but a devotee who is fully conversant in the Vedic conclusion is very dear to him. Everyone is trying to elevate himself to the highest position according to his mentality. The karmis, who have a bodily concept of life, try to enjoy sense gratification to the utmost. The jnani's idea of the highest position is merging into the effulgence of the Lord. But a devotee's highest position is preaching all over the world the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the devotees are actually the representatives of the Supreme Lord, and as such, they travel all over the world directly as Narayan, because they carry Narayan within their hearts and preach his glories. The representative of Narayan is as good as Narayan. But he is not to conclude, like the Mayavadis, that he has become Narayan. Generally, a sannyasi is addressed as Narayan by the Mayavadis. Their idea is that simply by taking sannyas, one becomes equal to Narayan or becomes Narayan himself. The Vaishnava conclusion is different, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Shakshadhari tvena samasta shastri uktastatha bhavyata eva sadbhi kintu praborya priya eva tasya vande guroshi charanaravindam. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, a devotee is as good as Narayan, not by becoming Narayan, but by becoming the most confidential servant of Narayan. Such great personalities act as spiritual masters for the benefit of the people in general. And as such, a spiritual master who is preaching the glories of Narayan should be accepted as Narayan and be given all respects due him.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, such preachers, Prabhupada is explaining. Not that they are Narayan, but they are to be given the same respect due to Narayan. So in that sense, they are considered to be Narayans. Just like in India, during the British rule, the king or the queen, whichever it may have been at the time, different times, sometimes king, sometimes queen. The king was staying in England, Buckingham Palace. And in India, the viceroy is residing there, the representative of the king. So, whenever the viceroy would go to some place, he would be received just as the king would be received. Not that he was the king, everyone knows he is not the king. But yet, because he is representing the king, the same honor, the same respect they would give if the king were personally present. They give the same honor, the same respect to the viceroy. They will give him gifts also. They will give him valuable gifts. Does he keep those gifts? No. He sends those to the king. So, he is receiving all the honor and respect. He is receiving the gifts, but not for himself. He is receiving them to send them to the king. So similarly, the bona fide spiritual master, he receives all honor, all respect, just as if he were Krishna himself. But he does not keep any of that honor and respect for himself. He offers all of that to his spiritual master, who offers it to his spiritual master, who offers it to his spiritual master, etc., 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 until it finally gets to Krishna. And what does Krishna do? He offers it back to the devotees. Because Krishna also is not very... He's more happy to see his devotees worshipped than himself being worshipped. So then Krishna personally worships his devotees. It's like he worshipped the Sudama Brahman when he came to Dwarka. Krishna personally worshipped. He sat him down on his own bed and offered him the arti ceremony. Krishna worshipped him. So in the Vaishnava culture, all worship is given, but nobody wants to accept the worship. Everybody wants to give it to someone else. Even Krishna wants to give the worship to someone else. This quality of humility is a very important thing. No one thinks, yes, I am worthy of being honored. We have to be very careful that in Krishna consciousness we don't hold on to our false pride. Yes, I deserve to be recognized because I'm a great devotee, I'm a great preacher. Prabhupada said, Maunam, the quality of silence. It's the 26th quality in the list of 26 qualities. Prabhupada explains that quality Maunam means silent worker. He doesn't need to advertise, yes, I am great, worship me, respect me, honor me. No. He's willing to work silently, without any recognition. Because he loves Krishna. That's all. His pay is to be able, is the privilege of being able to serve Krishna. In other words, devotional service is so nice thing, not that you have to pay me to do it. Actually, devotional service is so nice thing that one would want, one would be willing to pay money to be able to do devotional service. If I give you $100, will you let me do some devotional service, you see? It's so valuable thing. It's like someone pays money to fly on the airplane, you see. They want to go to India, so they buy some ticket to fly to India. Flying on the airplane is valuable for them. It gets them a place they want to go. So devotional service is also airplane. It is an airplane that takes you to Krishna Loka. So if I can pay some money to go on Finnair to Delhi or to Mumbai, then I should also be willing to pay money to get on this Vaikuntha airplane, Krishna consciousness, Bhakti Yoga airplane, to go back to my original home, Krishna Loka. So this devotional service is indeed so nice thing. In the beginning, we are sometimes hesitant to engage in devotional service. Because we are very proud, they think, why should I have to serve anyone? Let everyone serve me. See, this is our pride. Why I have to serve someone? Let them serve me. In the material world, the more that others serve you, the more you're considered advanced, you see. That's material advancement. If I have a lot of money, then I can pay people to serve me, you see. So everybody wants to get money, so they can have people serving them and waiting on them, you see. That's considered material advancement. The more that people serve you, the more you're materially advanced. But in Krishna consciousness, it is just the opposite. The more I can render service, that is my advancement. Dasa, dasa, nu, dasa. The more you become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, that is your advancement. Not that, well, I've joined ISKCON, now I need to jockey myself to some position where I can be served by a lot of devotees and then I'll be advancing in Krishna consciousness. No. That's using the Krishna consciousness movement to fulfill one's material desires. We've seen devotees who were successful in doing that. They became very big leaders in ISKCON. But there was obviously some material motive there. Because they left. After getting their material desire fulfilled of going all the way to the top position, they left. I knew one devotee, he was very eager to move up the ISKCON corporate ladder. And he went all the way, he became a GBC. He manipulated and lobbied and sure enough, they made him a GBC. And then after that he left the movement. Because his motive was material. He wasn't thinking of how to please the spiritual master. He was thinking how I can have some big position, some name and fame, some power, some profit, some adoration. He was looking for a big position for himself. So even though he got that position, he was not satisfied. So we should understand that Krishna consciousness means Simply become the humble servant of the spiritual master. That's what it means. It doesn't mean some big title, some big position. That is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is to be happy simply rendering humble service. That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. So, I can ask now if Maharaji would like to add some points to his lecture.
Isn't this called criticism?
Tell me again.
When we talk about how one was trying and motivated, would that be also considered as criticizing?
Am I violating the instruction of criticizing? No. I'm not disrespecting that person. First of all, I didn't even name him. I'm not disrespecting that person. I'm just explaining how a very wonderful person that I loved very much, who was very dear to my heart, how he fell down from Krishna consciousness, proper situation in this movement. This is very helpful information to protect us from also falling down, you see. I still love that person very dearly. I have no ill feeling for him in my heart. If I feel ill will for someone, I'm envious of someone, and I criticize, that is fault finding. But if I'm the genuine well-wisher of a person, but I see that he made some mistakes that were very fatal for his Krishna consciousness, and I want that others who are now properly situated will be able to remain properly situated, to explain to them the mistakes that person made which led to his fall down, that is not criticism. It affects our consciousness if we can know what causes one to fall down, and we can. It protects our consciousness if we can know what causes one to fall down. You see, that way we can avoid the causes for fall down.
But the person that you're referring, they were also finding faults with others.
Yes. That's a fact.
So they also fell down.
That person was very much finding fault. That's a fact. And they left the movement on the basis of finding fault for the movement. Yeah. So the question would be, what's the difference between my fault finding and their fault finding? What is, when you say this, what are you referring to?
It's like talking about again and again and again and again about such persons.
Again and again about what?
Again and again talking about such persons.
I don't talk about them at every class.
I'm just saying that it affects our consciousness also, or not?
Everything has an effect on our consciousness. Either it makes everything we do, everything we say, everything we think has either a positive or negative impact on our consciousness. So whatever you talk about, it affects your consciousness. That's a thing. The question is, does it affect my consciousness favorably or unfavorably? To know what the causes of fall down are, so that one can avoid them, is that favorable or unfavorable for one's Krishna consciousness? It's favorable. To know the causes of fall down so that one can avoid them is very, very good for one's Krishna consciousness. It does affect one's consciousness in a favorable way. To know what are the causes of fall down so that one can avoid them.
Can it be also affecting the negative way?
Well, if one becomes proud, yes. If one thinks, yeah, that jerk, he was so puffed up, but I'm so humble. Then, if one thinks in that way, then it has negatives. Just like if we go out preaching, we think, yeah, those stupid karmis are so foolish. The Bhagavatam says they're like animals. You know, I'm so great, and they're so low, and I'm so high, and they're so low. Those kind of thoughts can damage one's Krishna consciousness. One has to take the scriptural statements in the proper way. Just because they're described as animals doesn't mean that you should become proud. You should think, I am also an animal, because I was also running after sense gratification. But somehow I'm a more fortunate animal, that's so. So let me help the other the unfortunate animals to become more fortunate. The point is, one should always feel oneself very meek and humble. That's the point. As soon as I become proud, thinking I am great and others are a bunch of nonsense, then there's problem. Of course, it is nonsense. When people, what they're doing, their whole culture is nonsense. There's no doubt about it. But if we think, yeah, if we become proud of our position, thinking I am great and they're just a bunch of garbage, there's danger then. We should simply, the way I like to look at it is this, just like you're working in some office with a bunch of materialists, for example. You should think, well, actually, these people, they're more intelligent than me. They're more hardworking than me. If they had been so fortunate as I to have understood the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they would be much more advanced devotees than me, but somehow they just haven't had that good fortune. But actually, they have all good qualities. If they would become devotees, they'd be much better devotees than me. But I just have the good fortune of having to come to Krishna consciousness. We've actually seen this happen. I mean, I just got a letter from an aspiring disciple in the U.S. that he was Krishna conscious and his wife wasn't. So he would take her to the temple and at least she would take prasadam. She didn't object, but she wasn't into it. But now they've gotten some Garnitai deities in their house and he said, now she's more advanced than I am. So we shouldn't, you know, be very proud. We should be very happy if actually all these people join and show that they're actually more advanced devotees than we are. We wouldn't mind. We simply want to serve, that's all. That's the point. So it's not wrong to see the faults in the people, but we have to be very compassionate and very humble. Not become puffed up thinking, yeah, I'm a great Mahabhagavat and they're just dirt. No. In fact, the great Mahabhagavats, they never think, I am a great Mahabhagavat. The great Mahabhagavats think, I am lower than the dirt. They really feel themselves very, very humble in me. The great Mahabhagavats don't even think I'm a devotee. They don't even feel that I'm a devotee. They think, actually, I'm a non-devotee. I'm just trying to be a devotee. I'm begging for the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas that I can somehow become a devotee. You see? The more you become advanced, the more you feel yourself fallen. That's the fact. But not someone think, well, I'm getting puffed up, I think I'll go fall down. So I can be humble again. No, not like that. Well, I'm getting really proud now. I better have some illicit sex or take some intoxication, eat some meat so I can be humble. No. One should not think in that way. You see. So, any other questions? Yeah.
One question is that if a person follows the four regulated principles, chants 16 rounds, but he, like solidly, but he's not yet initiated,
mm-hmm.
And he happens to die, leave the body. What's the fate, destination of such a person?
That depends. If he was in his heart, he had accepted the shelter of his spiritual master. He had already humbled himself, and he'd already given his heart to the spiritual master, just like Prabhupada already gave his heart to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. But he just hadn't sat down for the yogi yet. Then he's okay. But if he's thinking, well, I don't really need a guru, I'll just chant and follow the principles, I don't really need to humble myself to the spiritual master, then he's not qualified to go back to Godhead.
Isn't that the guru has to accept? He may be thinking.
That's a very good point. The guru has to, actually, that acceptance by a bona fide spiritual master is necessary. If the guru was aware that he was getting ready for initiation, and the guru was accepting his service, accepting him as a bona fide Vaishnava, bona fide aspiring disciple, then he's certainly in good shape for going back to Godhead, even though he didn't have the ceremony yet. Practically, he's already initiated. He has a relationship with the spiritual master. Spiritual master is guiding him, blessing him. He feels dependent on the spiritual master. The spiritual master is bestowing mercy upon him. If those things are already there, even without the ceremony, he's probably okay. No. The ceremony is when you finally make the solemn vow in front of the deities, in front of the fire, which is a manifestation of Lord Vishnu, and in front of the spiritual master. That's when you say the oath. Formally, in what times? In the Vedic ages?
I don't know if Srila Prabhupada had a big ceremony.
When Prabhupada was here, there was a very solemn ceremony.
Yeah, there. Bhaktisiddhanta performed a ceremony.
Oh, I don't know about Bhaktisiddhanta. I wasn't here to see those ceremonies. We are in the Prabhupada line. We're in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada line. So we follow that line. That is our powerful connection with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, I have done 10 times more than my spiritual master. So Prabhupada was especially empowered, even more than his own spiritual master, for spreading this movement. That's a bit. So we want to see, it's not that we jump over to, well, how did Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati do, or how did Bhakti, no. Prabhupada was especially empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with Gaura Shakti, with Krishna Shakti, for making the whole world Krishna conscious. So we especially want to see, how did Prabhupada do it? And that's what we want to do.
Yeah, okay. I'm not against it, but I'm just wondering that there are so many disciples initiating. So, and who is initiated, who is not initiated, how would one know? So, is that because of by the ceremony or somebody like, you know, like that person?
The actual...
Like that,
just like in my case.
I'm just saying that like that person who was initiated, just Prabhupada gave the bid.
That person what?
That person, like Atma Tattva Das was saying that the one person, he was not able to do service, so he didn't get the ceremony, but he went to Prabhupada and he gave the deeds in the hand. I don't know how many know that he was his disciple. Remember that man?
Yeah.
So that's my point. Is that ceremony, does that also, maybe it does...
It's a commitment from the side of the disciple, and it's agreement on behalf of the spiritual master to give particular shelter and blessings as a disciple to that individual.
But we cannot say it is Atma Tattva, the realization that he was initiated, but nobody knows that he was really initiated or not.
That's between that man and Prabhupada.
Exactly.
But as a general rule, we have a formal thing and everybody knows this person's initiated. That's the standard. That is the standard. That's the standard established by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada can break his own rules. He's the one who set the rules, so he can break the rules also. But we cannot. He's Foundaracharya. He can do, we cannot do. He can do special things like that that we cannot do.
But that also doesn't confirm that it's between Prabhupada and that man. Nobody can think that he was initiated or he was not initiated. We cannot say.
Whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That man considered himself to be Prabhupada's disciple. Prabhupada chanted on his beads and blessed him, so practically he was initiated.
Give one's own chanting bead to somebody else. So that person is initiated. That's Prabhupada can do that, not anybody can. Like sometimes the devotee says that.
That's the point I just made. Prabhupada can do things like that you and I cannot do.
I'm not talking about myself.
Prabhupada gave us a standard formula for initiating. There's initiate, recommendation. The temple authority recommends the person for initiation. There's a ceremony, there's a name given. All of those things, it's a standard system given by Prabhupada. We're meant to uphold that system, and we're doing that. It's like I have, 63 disciples, and I follow the system that Prabhupada gave. Any other questions?
We can see that devotees who are following the principles, chanting 16 rounds, and they may also be initiated, but they are, sour-faced. Sour-faced. They have conflicts with each other and they feel that all this devotional service, it's more of a duty, so it's I have to do it but I don't really want, and so it's they are following everything.
They're still neophytes. Advanced devotees are they feel no enmity towards anyone. They feel love for everyone. And they're always blissful. They're just like a volcano of bliss. They're spewing bliss lava wherever they go. The neophytes, they get into fighting and fault finding and things like that. Of course, that doesn't mean the advanced devotees can't find faults with the neophyte. That's the mercy of the advanced devotees, to point out the faults of the neophyte. But it's not done in a fighting mood. It's done in a loving mood. The neophyte may not recognize that, though. When the spiritual master, a senior devotee, gives a thunderbolt, they may think, oh, he hates me. You see, but that's the neophyte's misunderstanding. The senior devotees, they have genuine compassion for all in their heart. They may sometimes speak in a very soft, pleasing way, soft like a rose. Sometimes in a very biting, harsh way, like a thunderbolt. But both moods are their loving kindness. Who wants to hear that they have cancer? But the doctor has to tell the patient, you have cancer. So that's his duty. So it's the duty of advanced devotees, senior devotees, to point out the faults of the neophyte. Otherwise, how will they get trained? If no training is given, you know what Chanakya Pandit says? The spiritual master who doesn't chastise his disciples, he's their enemy. There's also a saying in America, he spare the rod and spoil the child. Rod means the stick of punishment.
Spare the rod and spoil the child.
Yeah, if you don't punish your child, you're spoiling him, you're ruining him. And there's a story in this connection. There was one man. He was a condemned murderer. And he was bidding, now he was going to be executed, put to death. So just before his execution, they asked him if he had one last wish. He said, yes, I would like to whisper something to my aunt. His aunt was present at the execution. So she came close for him to whisper in her ear, and he bit her ear. Everybody was shocked. Why you bitten your aunt's ear on the moment of your death? He said, my parents died. I was raised by my aunt. And she was very lenient. She never corrected me for anything. She let me do whatever I want. And because of her not properly training me, I associated with a bad type of people, and I became a murderer. If she had done her duty to properly train me and correct me when I got into bad association, I wouldn't be being executed here today. So to get her back for the wrong that she has done to me, I've bitten her ear today. So it is a duty of guru and senior devotees to give correction to the juniors. We should never think, oh, they hate me. They don't like me. No. Senior devotees, they have love for everyone. There's tough love and there's soft love. Whether it's soft love or tough love, love is love. Any other question? Yeah.
No ma tean, mis positsioonis ma olen langenud. Kui küsimus, kas minust saab üldse, et ma ei oleks illusioonis. Või minu positsioongi on niukene teo, 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 teo. Võt ma küsin, et isiklikult ma
olen.
Ja et kas tal on niukest võimet?
Näha.
Ja et nagu hea treeneril on näha, et näed, sellest tuleb tšempioon.
Ja eks mingi boksi treener
või? Üks ta puha.
Mis on sporti treener?
Ja kas vaimne õpetaja näeb, kui need minu positsioon. Võibolla ma ei lähegi sinna.
So Igor has a question. Igor has a question that, for an example, like a good sports trainer, whether it be well boxing or some other sports, like a good trainer can see from the younger athlete, he can see that okay, he's gonna be a world champion. I can see this. So. And also he can see that, he's not going to be a very good athlete. So it's like the spiritual master can also see about the disciple that, yes, this disciple can like advance very quickly and really go back to God, but this disciple cannot. And for example, in the case of Igor, he asks, that, what about him?
All right. The thing is, the trainer the student, there may be one student, the trainer thinks, oh, he's never going to make it, he's never going to be good. This one's going to be good, this one's never going to make it. But you know, there's been many cases like that in history when the person which was thought to have no potential whatsoever, he became the most successful. So the point is, one is not held back by any, even if everybody thinks that you're never going to make it in Krishna consciousness, Igor. You have the full potential to become a Mahabhagavat in this very lifetime. Even if everyone thinks, yeah, that Igor, he's got so many bad qualities, he's got so many bad habits, he's fallen down so many times, he'll never make it. You see? Just like in my case. Everybody thought, oh, that Sankarshan Das, he's such... He's got so many bad qualities, he's such a... You know? Kick him out of the temple, you know. We don't get him out of here. When I was a neophyte, everybody thought I was just no good. Vishnu Chand Maharaj is very kind. He recommended me for initiation, but many devotees thought that I was just not very good. But now, somehow, I become a spiritual master. By the grace of Prabhupada. So, in this connection, it is stated, Mukam karoti vachalam pangunlam yagate giram yat kripa tamahang vande shi guru dinataranam. By the grace of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross over a mountain. A dumb man who has no ability to speak can deliver eloquent speeches. And it's also stated elsewhere that a dog can swim across the ocean. So, by the grace of Guru, even the most incompetent person that everybody knows is never going to go anywhere in Krishna consciousness. By the grace of Guru, he can become the most successful, the most powerful Vaishnava. So there's no such thing as fated to being a low 10th class devotee. There's no such thing as my fate is to be a 10th class devotee. Your fate is to become a Mahabhagavan. You just have to become enthusiastic, that's all.
May I say something in that?
Yes.
Coach can see who can become athlete. Yes, the spiritual master can see who can become a good devotee, who cannot become a good devotee. But it depends on individual.
Yes,
the athlete will see that this person can win. He may put more energy on that person, unless that the individual works.
In other words, Guru's mercy is not a panacea.
So the individual has to work for their goal. So one can think that the spiritual master can say that you will become a great devotee. It's not some magic. It's not some magic when is given and the guru said and I'll become and I'll become. No, one has to work for that.
It's not niimoodi nagu mingisugune võlukepik, et laks, et sa oled mingi suur pühendanud, et sa pead ikka nagu töötama selle nimel.
You have to follow the instructions.
Sa pead järgima guru juhendusi.
And you will become.
Ja siis sa saad.
You have a potential that you can become.
Sul on potentsiaal,
but you have to work for it.
Aga sa pead selle nimel tööd tegema.
Like the plate of prasadam is in front of you. I give you the prasadam. You have a potential of eating that prasadam. But unless you pick up the food and put it in your mouth, it's not going to go into your mouth.
It's sul nagu potentsiaal, et süüa prasad ära, aga kui sa ei võta lusikate seda suhu ja pane, siis prasadam ise enne sulle suhu hüppa.
So you have to do the work.
Sa pead nagu töötama.
You can't say, well, it's all going to happen by the mercy of Guru. I don't have to do anything. It's like there were some disciples who were very poor. And when their Guru Maharaj came, they made a big, big, costly, elaborate feast. All expensive flower garlands, and very, very lavish welcoming for the spiritual master. The spiritual master said, you all are very poor. How did you afford this? They said, it was all by your mercy, Gurudev. And later on, he checked in his bank account. He'd seen the devoted disciples had cleaned out his whole bank account. So, it's not that you can say, by your mercy, Gurudev, I will become a great devotee. And then not do anything yourself. Expect the guru to do everything. You just got to sit down and eat and sleep and expect the guru to make you into a Mahabhagavat. You have to do the work. You got to pick up the beads. You have to utter the mantra. You have to strictly follow the principles. In this way, if you will do the work, there is nothing to stop you from becoming a great Mahabhagavat. So our time is up now. We've gone a little bit over time. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for so nicely receiving us here in Tartu. So we look forward. We're already scheduled to come back in the fall, we already bought our tickets to come back again. So we're definitely coming back in the fall. We'll be back again. So we'll do some, we'll continue. We'll have some more nice kirtans, some more nice classes, public lecture, more darshans. And we hope to see that everybody has progressed very nicely while we're gone. We want to see that. So everybody is progressing very, very nicely in their spiritual life.
We see that the ego will be chanting 16 rounds.
He's already agreed yesterday to chant 16.
No, what I'm saying, when we come next time, he will be doing that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. 16 rounds, yeah. I always remember ego when I first came to the... He's the first... devotee. When I came to the Baltic states, he was the first male devotee I saw. My Russian driver. He went. I remember he drove me from Tallinn to Tartu when I first arrived in the Baltic countries. There was two devotees, Ranga Devi and Igor, to greet me. So I have a very strong memory of Igor, from the very beginning of my coming to the former Soviet Union. Jai Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Gurudeva ki jai, Guru Mataji ki jai.